God says, okay, that's it. Even while I'm reading, sometimes God will just put a word on the page and it'll jump off at me. Yesterday I was there in the living room. I was just sitting there and, you know, I got three dogs. And somebody says, how in the world do you study with the dogs around you? Well, they're in different chairs and they'll eventually get off of me and I'll go do my thing. And the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday morning and told me to preach on the voices of Pentecost. The voices of Pentecost. Now again, there's no way that I can exhaust this message tonight. But in a few minutes, you'll get the gist of it. And I'll preach until the Lord tells me I've said what I need to say. And then we'll go to Dario and get us some ice cream. If you don't want to go to Dario, that's on you, not me. Acts chapter number 2. And if I was going to give Dario a commercial tonight, their milkshakes are too expensive, first of all. They're not worth it. They're too expensive. But they're good enough to pay $5 and some change for a milkshake. A hand-dipped milkshake. Reminds me of some I used to get when I was a kid in Clyde. So every now and then I still go by there and say, squeeze a nickel more out of me and I'll buy the hand scoop tonight. And somebody says, you tightwad. I know. You got to be what you are. When you look in the scripture, Acts chapter 2, I want to read this portion of scripture because it was a part of Peter's message of Pentecost. And I want you to try to give ear this evening to what was said. How many times the word actually uses this little four-letter word, said, or the word spoken. When they came out of the upper room, they had something to say. They had something to say. And I'm of the persuasion that the church still has something to say. I'm of the belief that God has still got a purpose for the church. So this evening when we look into the word in Acts chapter 2, verse number 14, it starts like this, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice. We can see that Peter, fresh out of the upper room, and I'll get into that in a little bit, he had the 11 near and around him, and he lifted up his voice. Now, if we're going to be a church today, a church with a voice of Pentecost, I still believe that God has given the church of Pentecost a voice to say something. Now, these men already that was near Peter had already discredited what had taken place in the upper room. They said that these men were filled with new wine. They began to mock and they began to make fun of them. And they doubted and they were in doubt of what had taken place. And they began to ask questions of what meaneth this. Now don't get mad at the preachers too early in the service. Years ago, when I grew up in Pentecost, we had enough Pentecost about us as a Pentecostal church that we had to stay on the defense, if I can use that word, to always be ready to give every man an answer when he would question us why we were Pentecostal. But I'm a little bit concerned today because I don't know that we're as Pentecostal as we say we are. And the reason that I say that is because people have quit asking questions, why are you Pentecostal? Why do you believe like you believe? Why do you speak in tongues like you do? Now, this message will not be a message only infiltrated with words concerning speaking in tongues. I will mention that. But there's a whole lot more to Pentecost than just speaking in tongues. A lot more. And I want to examine some of those things this afternoon here tonight for just a little while. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Now there again, we're already talking about the words of Pentecost, the voice of Pentecost. And we have this one, Peter, and if I had a lot of time to go back and exegete and talk about Peter and who Peter was, you know who he was. He was the first disciple that was called. He had hung out with Jesus. He had been with Jesus. He denied Jesus. Jesus heard him cussing and all kinds of stuff. He was a rebel rouser. But yet when the Holy Ghost got a hold of his heart, he was the voice of Pentecost. As you open up Acts chapter number 2. I believe today in my belief that God still needs some Apostle Peters to be able to speak loud and to speak clear about the Pentecostal movement and what we are and who we are as Pentecostal. Now, if you're in this room, if you're hearing me on video or any other means of media tonight, don't get mad at the preacher. But if you're Baptist, God bless you. You be a Baptist and you serve God the best way you know how, I'll applaud you all the way to glory land. If you're a Methodist this afternoon, praise God, hallelujah. If you're preaching the Bible, I'll celebrate you all the way to glory land. Or any other denomination that's preaching the Bible. But don't bash what you have not experienced. Somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in all of that speaking in tongues stuff. I don't believe that it's necessary for today." I love Brother Scott's conclusion of the Sunday school lesson today, because the book of Acts does not conclude at the end of Acts 28. They didn't say, "Amen." We are the Acts 29 people today. So Peter got up and Peter began to preach this message. Peter lifted up his voice. He began to use the voice that God had gave him. Isn't it not time for the church to use the voice that God has given her? See, when we begin to look at this, we can see of Peter. Peter again, he said, "Hearken to my words." In other words, Peter was saying there, "Listen to what I have to say to you. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing but it is but the third hour of the day." And then Peter, I can imagine Peter getting a little bit excited simply because no doubt he had read Joel. No doubt he knew what Joel had prophesied. No doubt they were living in the greatest opportunity that they had ever said, that Jesus had told them to go over to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and he breathed on them and he told them to receive ye the Holy Ghost. I can only imagine Peter on that Pentecostal morning when the Holy Ghost came into that upper room. Peter, I don't know, I just have to use imagination a little bit and kind of see maybe what had happened, but I know how I was when I danced around the Whittier campground, had my granny around the neck, me and granny shouting across the front of there, and granny looked up to me and granny said, "Son, did you get it? Did you get it?" I said, "Granny, I got it, I got it, I got it." We used to talk like that. That used to be our lingo. Now we don't even care whether we are filled with the Holy Ghost now. I'm going to tell you something. By the time I get done with this tonight, I pray that you look at Pentecost in a way that God showed me while I was studying yesterday. I was so engrossed in study, I was supposed to went and pick blueberries at Marty's, and I didn't have time to go pick blueberries. She picked them for me and brought them to me. Hallelujah. I got to studying and I got to digging and I got to studying and got to digging. And God said to Peter, he says, "These are not drunk as you suppose." But he said, "But this is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. There again is another word that was within this, where Joel actually spoke, and this was the voice of Pentecost that Joel spoke. And what he said, and it came, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. He says, I will pour out my spirit. How many of you know that there is a vast difference in spilling something and knocking it over, accidentally spilling something, or intentionally pouring something on something? God said, here it is, in the last days. This is what Joel prophesied. And Joel said, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So when we begin to think about the voices of Pentecost, the first voice that God was saying here with Peter is that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Like Isaiah of old, he said, Lord, here am I. I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about God. You said you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot truly, truly, truly worship God as long as we only do that with our intellect. Don't get mad at the preacher. It takes more than your intellect to tune in to what God is saying. You are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. And my friend, what a glorious day it is when that spirit that's inside of you lines up with that heavenly dove, and he comes down and he fills you up, my friend, and you know it without a shadow of a doubt. If there's anything we need in the church today, we need spirit-filled people. I'm saying, God, here I am. Fill me up one more time. Fill me, God, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Peter was the one, the voice that said, God said, he is going to pour out my spirit in the last day. You say, preacher, what are you telling us tonight? I'm simply telling you that it has not changed one iota. If God said through Peter, I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days, God is looking for you, God is looking for me, and God is saying, I want to pour my spirit out on you one more time. If there's anything we need in the church today, we need a brand new outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost, the power of God today. And as we begin to look at this scripture, we can see several things that it took place. He says, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, your young men, your old dreams, are going to dream dreams and have visions. If I had time, I could actually go into a whole lot of that this evening. But when we begin to think about, again, the things that took place on Pentecost, I begin to think about Peter and what Peter was saying. And that led me to believe something else. That there's a lot of voices in our world today. There's a lot of voices in our world today. There's all kinds of chatter in our world today. I'm going to tell you a voice today that you need not to listen to before I move on. The Bible, again, I mentioned it this morning just in passing, John 10, verses number 3 and 4. The Bible says this. When you begin to look in John 10, verses 3 and 4, you can read the whole thing. But verse 3 says it like this. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. Verse 4, he says, and he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If we're going to have the voice of Pentecost in the day that we're living in, we do not need to be tossed about, as the Bible said, with every wind and doctrine. If we're going to be following the voices of Pentecost, we need to actually know this evening what the voice of God is. There's strange voices out there today. There's strange voices today that you must flee from. There are strange voices today that I must flee from. And another thing is that any voice, my friend, that preaches any other doctrine other than sound doctrine, solid biblical truth, solid biblical doctrine, we need to stay away from. God's word is the only and the final authority for living our lives unto God. I want to say that again. God's word, the Bible, is the only and the final authority for living our lives for Him. We are living in such a warped society today. A few days ago, I stood in the foyer of this church. There was a funeral director back there, and he and I was chit-chatting. And he called somebody, and he called a certain location and a certain denomination, and they have already taken Matthew chapter number 6. You don't need to turn there. And they've taken and twisted the word of God, and they've taken the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And they've already twisted it up and moved it up, and they talk about Mother God and our Mother who art in heaven. I'm telling you, there's strange voices out there today. We need to be warned against these strange voices. How do you know the right voices today? The Bible says again, and I've just wrote some thoughts and some quick just thoughts here. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8. And I love this scripture because it begins to teach, to tell you and I about the voices, the strange voices. We live in a strange society. We live in a place of strange voices. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached unto you, let him be accursed. This tells me that in the last days, and even in the days of Paul, when Paul penned the words to the Galatian church, they were strange voices in the land. They were preaching another gospel. Jude even talks about it. To give heed and to contend for the faith, the original gospel message that was delivered unto you. He warns against this. Not to be tossed about by every wind and every doctrine. The Bible teaches us that the flee strange doctrines, if you will. And no other foundation, as Brother Chris mentioned a few weeks ago, no other foundation that is laid except that has already been laid. How do you know the voice of Pentecost is real? Because Jesus is the one, and if you look at it, I don't have time to go look at every verse that I'd like to, but you can go to John 15 and John 16, and Jesus said that it is expedient that I go away, except I go away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost will not come. How do you know that He is gone away? How do you know that today? Here's a voice of Pentecost. Even though it's Acts chapter number 1. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a voice of Pentecost that teaches you and I something this evening that we need to be aware of. It's found in Acts chapter number 1. We look at this and we see this in verse number 9. And this is the voice from heaven. Pentecost, listen. And he says, And when he had spoken these things, I'll get into that in a minute. While they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now watch this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up. Now who's this talking about? This is talking about Jesus. Jesus had ascended. I'll get into the rest of that in a minute. But Jesus had already ascended. The disciples and all the other people were there. I believe they were gawking. They were staring. They were in amazement at what they had just witnessed. Jesus just began to go up into the air. And they were there, and all of a sudden, the angel of God began to talk to them. And the angel of God began to say to them. And we can see that when he went up, they looked steadfastly toward heaven. Now watch this. And two angels stood by them in white apparel. I'm about to shout and get happy in a Pentecostal church. He says this. And he says that they stood by in white apparel. And look at this. and also said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's the voice of the angels that took place at Pentecost. What was the message of the angels that was there at Pentecost? Look at what the Bible said. And the Bible said here, as the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up in the heaven? Why are you standing there just gazing up into the heavens? You ought to know by now that what Jesus said is true. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus said, it is my meat to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, I've got to go away. I've got to go fulfill this thing called redemption. Jesus went to the cross. We knew that. But yet, my friend, when we read, I hope this is getting in your heart tonight, when we read about the angels there, hey, look, friend, it's a promise to you. It's a promise to me. The Bible said that these angels was there, and we look at this in the scripture. Why do you stand up gazing? And this same Jesus that was taken up for you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. I don't know about you, my friend, but when I hear that voice this evening, knowing that it was the angels out of heaven, it's not a strange wind, it's not a strange doctrine, but it is the promise from heaven that Jesus Christ is coming again. And we ought to be excited about the fact that this was the voice of Pentecost. And the angel said, he's coming again. He's coming again. It wasn't said in the White House. It wasn't said in Raleigh at the State House. It wasn't even said at your house. But God the Father sent his angels to say to those that was there at Pentecost, right before the outpouring, Jesus is coming again. If the church has got a voice today of anything, we ought to have a voice of telling the world today that's lost and weary, have hope in God. Jesus is coming again. That's the voice of Pentecost. The angels of God declared, hey, this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. I had to slow down a minute. I was killing myself. The same Jesus that you see go away is coming. Friend, look at your neighbor and say, he's on his way. When we begin to look at this, the voice of Pentecost gave you another promise. And he said that in verse number 11. And this same Jesus, which is taken up for you, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. When we think about this voice of Pentecost, when we think about what he said, I'm looking at the scripture this evening and I'm thinking about where Jesus again, these angels declared that Jesus is coming. Not only was there a promise of his return, but the voice of Pentecost is a voice of Jesus himself. Watch this. I want you to get this in your spirit tonight. Not only is it a voice that promises the church about the rapture. If I had time, I could go through Thessalonians. Talk all about that. Talk all about the rapture. There are those that discredit the rapture. There are those that says that the rapture was never taught or anything was ever taught about the rapture till the mid-1800s. Wasn't God's fault that it wasn't taught or preached. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. And different people came up with different theories about pre, mid, post and all that. And I do believe that the church is pre-trib. And Jesus is coming again. And I believe he's going to call the church away. The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, rapio, Latin rapio, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know how any other way you could explain that. So the voice of Pentecost promises Jesus' soon and imminent return. Number two is simply this, that I believe that the voice of Pentecost, and I could, again, I could go through all kinds of stuff and talk about it and share and make this message real, real long, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Here's the voice of Pentecost. It's a great concern to me now. Because this is Jesus' words. How many of you know Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost? Jesus, there when he was baptized, Spirit of God came down, filled him up. Another message for another time, but Jesus also spoke in tongues. We could talk about that. I'm going to get the emails on it, save it, don't even waste the ink. Oh, really? Did he do that, preacher? Anybody ever heard the word talithakuma? And Jairus' daughter was there, and Jesus put everybody else except a few of the disciples, and he went in with Jairus, and he said, talithakuma. And that's being interpreted, it says, my daughter. My daughter. And he says, arise. And he tells her to get up. He rise up. He said, well, where's the other spot? I had to put this in here since I said that. People's going to, you know, send the old ugly emails to me. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out with a voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we know that those were cases where Jesus actually spake in a tongue. And that's argument, and people can be argumentative about all that kind of stuff if they want to be. That's not the message for tonight. But here's what I want to do in this church tonight, because I believe, and I don't want to lose you this early in the message. I got another hour to go. Just kidding. The voice of Pentecost not only promises Jesus' imminent return, but the voice of Pentecost is a promise to fill his church with power. Now, I'm not talking about just us. I see things all the time. There's people preaching everywhere. There's people preaching all the time online. I mean, preaching everywhere. I can't tell you about nobody else but me, where I float around at, where I move and where I go. The voices that I hear and the things that I see. So I'm not trying to be ugly this evening, but I'm going to tell you something. If there's anything we need out of Pentecost as a church, is we need to be infilled once again with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this, this evening, we can see that Jesus is the very one that was the voice. It was Jesus' own voice. I don't know about you, but that's very concerning to me. It's simply because I don't know that we're seeing the power of Pentecost the way that God wants us to see it. I'm still concerned about laying hands on the sick. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll leave that alone for a minute. I got to stay here. Acts 1, verse number 8, you know this as well as me. Jesus, these are Jesus' words. And he said, but you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamo, energia. What meaneth this? And I struggle sometimes because I know how it was when I got in Pentecost. And people always talk about the good old days and we used to do this and we used to do that. Well, let me ask you a question. Who moved, you or God? Quit telling me about what God used to do and quit telling me about the power that you used to have. Come on now. That's an indictment against you. Woo! And God said, I want to come by the church one more time. And I want to speak into the church and I want to pour out my spirit. Why do we need power today? To put on our Sunday best and poke our chest out and strut? No. We need power today to get into the trenches. We need power today to cast out devils and to do the things that God told us that His disciples would do. We don't need power to come to church and sit on a pew. I struggle. I have to not make myself do things sometimes because I don't know. I just ain't there yet. I just ain't there yet. And somebody says, well, I wouldn't recommend this for nobody. Nobody needs to do this. I'm talking about me. And a few brave men that's got my back. And I it's just me. Maybe I'm meddling. I look, Nora, at these ladies. I see ladies in Thomasville. Ladies. Women. One today coming in before I came back over here, laying in the grass, waiting on her man over at the exit with a sign. She's laying in the grass. I see, Robert, yesterday at Walmart, two elderly, aged women, old women at Walmart with signs begging. I ain't worried about them eating a sandwich. I ain't worried about what got them in that mess. But I want to pull up sometimes and say, tell me what's going on and why. I want to talk to them. I wouldn't recommend nobody. I want to find out what's going on. Because I believe, Brother West, that God's given us the power to break the bondage, not us, but Him in us. And I just meddle. Let me meddle for a minute. I talk to people. I've talked to my own son. I talk to people sometimes that almost want to spit in your face because they don't believe that book right there. I'm concerned that that's one of the reasons that the world is in the mess that it's in, because they've seen an anemic, dried up, weak church. I blowed my horn and done a thumbs up and waved at these men down here at the corner today, this afternoon, right there near McDonald's. They were down there with some signs that said, Jesus loves you. Repent. Give your heart. I want to get in that corner out there on a Saturday or a Friday when I'm out there by myself and just stand there all day giving people hope. If I had about four people that helped me make some signs, I'd do it with you. I just want to tell them, Brother West. I don't want an offering. I don't want nothing. I just want to tell them. These men down here today, I don't know where they're from, but they just impressed me, and I just went by and gave them a big old thumbs up. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. They're probably from a Baptist church. They're probably from a church somewhere that cares about souls that's dying. They've made their signs, and they're willing to take their Sunday afternoon and stand down there with signs that repent, repent. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And then we, as Pentecostals who think that we've got a possession on the corner of heaven as it comes to the power of the Holy Ghost, because they don't speak in tongues and we do speak in tongues, and I'm an advocate for speaking in tongues, and we think we got more power than them, and we're not the ones down there doing it. They are. Now, I'm over it. Jesus promised this power. Heavenly power. Power that comes from heaven. Not a fleshy power, not something that's concocted into the minds of man. Supernatural power. Jesus said that. You shall receive power. If we're going to have the voice of Pentecost, we need to be filled with power. Why do we need power? Sing and shout and dance about? Slip in, slump over, and slide out? Say we've been to church, check it off. Are you still with me tonight? I bet you didn't know I was going to preach this. I'm going to tell you something. When I was younger, in my 20s, and Brother Dotson or some others that I preferred to listen to would preach, And they would preach with an exuberance. And they would shout. And it wasn't just show, man. They had the power of God. Brother Dotson's pushing 80-year-old now. But the man had the goods. He had the power of God on him. I'd sit in the seat and about just like a little sponge. And don't excuse the way I'm going to say this. I would almost salivate, spiritually speaking, because I wanted what that man had. I wanted it, Brother Tim, so bad. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wanted to be filled with power. I wanted to be filled with the anointing of God. I would sit on the edge of my seat, Sherry and I. We would drive all the way to Atlanta, Georgia for a couple of years with Pastor Jim Bolin, Bishop Jim Bolin, and he would preach the word. And it was just a different day back then. And Brother Jim told me one time, he said, I love it when I see you and Sherry come into church. He said, because you're just like two little sponges up there. You're getting all you can get. And I'm saying, God, where's that same spirit today? Where's that same spirit today that we actually long and we desire? God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Fill me, God, with your power today to make a difference in a society that we're living in today. Because without the power of Pentecost, Jesus said, you got to have the power. But it was going to be the agent of the Holy Ghost that when the Holy Ghost came in, my friend, that he's going to fill the church with power. Why, how do you know this happened? How do you know? We don't chase signs. Signs shall follow them that believe. It ought to be behind you everywhere. There ought to be a residue of signs behind the church. I'm going to preach if I preach it to myself. I'm going to preach myself happy. If I'd be like Brother Moxley tonight, if I had an offering in this pocket, I'd get it out and put it in that pocket and give myself an offering. Am I telling you the truth? Oh, God. I'm not at a loss of words, I promise you. God, fill us with your power. Why do we need your power? After that, the Holy Ghost has come. He wasn't there yet. He is on his way. And you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. Do you know we're Jehovah Witnesses? You do know that, don't you? We are Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not the cultic denomination, but we are God's Witnesses. God, let us be your witness. Let your church be your witness. But we're not going to do it without Pentecostal. We're not going to do it with the power of God. Paul said to the church there in Galatia, and God is the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. But he said to the church there at Galatia, he said, foolish Galatians, do you not know you cannot finish by the flesh what you began in the Spirit? And I'm afraid we've gotten fleshy. By that I mean, fleshy seems to always mean short dresses and ear bobs. That's not what I'm talking about. We're thinking that we can do it by the measure of the flesh. And I'm saying, God, we need an old-fashioned gully washer of your Spirit. I'm saying, God, every person under the sound of my voice, you might have not ever spoken tongues in all of your life. You might not ever be filled with the Holy Ghost as it comes to Pentecost in all of your life. You don't even know if you believe it or not. You're sitting here tonight wondering what in the world you're going to do with this message. And I'm saying, God, that you just fill us up. Every person under the sound of my voice. Why do we need Pentecost? Next thing I begin to see, and you can kindly work your way through that. It's found there in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And Jane, you can just kindly give me Acts 2 and 1. We're going to go real quick down through there. Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, You know it as well as I do. They were all with one accord in one place. There's a voice of Pentecost. You can't hardly get people to get in one accord about nothing anymore. But they were. I'll leave that alone for another time. We'll preach that one later. Here's what I want to point out in these scriptures. When you begin to look in Acts chapter 2, looking forward very quickly down through there, the Bible says, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues had something to do with their voice, didn't it? Had something to do with what was being said. And the Bible says, if you begin to look at this, and it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They knew it was time for the promises that God had told them. It was a promise that they had already said. The voice of Pentecost, again, is a guarantee that Jesus is coming back. It's a guarantee that God was going to fill them with power. And they said this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Verse 5 and following, really quick, this is what he says. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded. Watch this. Because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. There was a familiar but unfamiliar sound going on that day. These Greeks, these that was there, these disciples, when they were there, they began to hear these disciples in the upper room begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. I'm getting ready to just blow you away. The voice of Pentecost is not a foolish voice, but it is a voice of clarity. Here they were in the upper room. They came out of the upper room. It was noised abroad. They confounded those that began to hear what was happening. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, there's a word saying, one to another, behold, all of these are not all of these which speak Galileans. They heard the voice of Pentecost. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And in the upper room, the disciples that was there, the 120 that was there, these Gentiles that was there, when you begin to look at this, we can see this, that you look in verse 8, and how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. The Bible said Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, watch this, do hear them speak in our tongues. Watch this. What is the voice of Pentecost all about? It is for you and I to look at our neighbor and slap each other a high five and say, hey, I got the Holy Ghost. No, not really. The voices of Pentecost that was in the upper room was a voice that edified God. And I don't have time to get into tongues and interpretation and public settings and public meetings and prayer closet prayer and individuals prayer. I don't have time to get in all of that right now. This was public. Those that was in the upper room, the 120 that was in the upper room, they came out of there, Brother Bob, staggering like a bunch of drunk men. There was something distinctively different about the Pentecostal people that was in the upper room. Don't get mad at the preacher. I don't know that there's that much difference between us and the church now. I mean, us and the world now. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm no different than anybody. I'm no better than nobody else. I am different than other people. Sherry and I talked about that this afternoon, where we were at and environments that we sometimes find ourselves in. And Brother West, it's just like, people are so lost. You just see it. Desperate. Lost. A sense of hopelessness. We have hope, Brother Joe. But let me get back on the message. The voice of Pentecost must always remain a voice as we become witnesses to God. Watch this. A voice, as it says here in the next verse. And it says, let me look at this. I don't want to miss this. Let me find it for myself. Hang on. As I've read it, I got it. Look in verse 11. He says here in verse 11, he said, we hear them speaking in our tongues, these Medes and the Pamphylia, the Parthians, and all these other people. He heard those come out of the upper room speaking in their language. It was an unknown tongue to them. It was an unlearned tongue to those that was in the upper room. But when they came out, they were speaking a language that those people could understand. They were Grecians. They were Greek. And they didn't know their language. The Parthians and the Medes and all of those people. Watch this. This is where it gets really good. So what has the Holy Ghost got to do with all this? Jesus said, Brother West, you know this, and you could probably give me the scripture reference because I just now thought about it. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he won't speak of himself. He won't glorify himself, but he will always glorify me. Anytime you say, Holy Ghost, I love you, Holy Ghost, hey, guess what's happening? That Holy Ghost is taking that just straight to glory. Boy, I understand that scripture text. What are you saying? You say, all these people that was there that day, the voices of Pentecost is a voice that talks about the wonderful works of God. Well, let me just think about this for a minute. The Holy Ghost is the voice of Pentecost, is Jesus telling us that we should be filled with power. The voice of Pentecost is one that was telling us that Jesus was coming again. The voice of Pentecost is one that they heard them speak of the mighty works of God. Our voice today has been given to us as Pentecostals to speak the wonderful works of God. I don't have time to really go into the rest of this. I didn't realize what time it was till I just looked up there. But Peter used his voice. When Peter came out of the supper room, the upper room, you'll get that after a while. We want to go to the supper room, but we don't want to go to the upper room. Takes a little time in the upper room, don't it? I love this scripture because you see Acts chapter number 2, and Peter concluded this message. Another voice of Pentecost is this. He talked about witnesses. Jesus said that. We need the voice of Pentecost, everybody. We need the voice of Pentecost to preach Jesus. Amen. When you begin to look at Peter, you can see this in Acts chapter 2. Here Jesus gave them a synopsis of everything that they had done concerning Jesus of Nazareth and the miracles and the signs and the things that was done. If you go down into Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, after Peter had given a testimony and a witness of Jesus, because he says in verse number 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof you shall, we are all witnesses. We need the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, I heard this before and it come back to my mind. Somebody says, do you need the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? Somebody else said, son, you better listen. You need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. We need the Holy Ghost today, don't we? But here it is again when you look in the book of Acts chapter 2 and 38, Peter, and then Peter said, this is the message. Listen, Peter said, the voice of Pentecost. Peter said, it was a message of repentance. John was the one that cried in the wilderness to repent and prepare ye the way of the Lord. A voice of Pentecost, the true voice of Pentecost, is a man that will call out men's sins and will tell them the truth. You need to repent. It was a message of repentance. We want user-friendly churches today. We want a social accepted gospel today. We want seeker-friendly gospel today. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want nobody. We don't want nobody to get hurt, and I don't want nobody to get hurt. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the word of God will cut you. Sometimes the word of God will call you to truth. And the only truth that I know that I can preach unto you tonight is in John 17. You don't need to turn there. But he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We need a sanctifying power from on high. Let me wrap this up here. The voice of Pentecost was one that would call men to repentance. Again in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Watch this. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's not a certain group here. Now there is, I believe there's a gift of tongues. There's a gift of interpretation of tongues. And I don't believe everybody has got the gift of tongues. And everybody, I don't believe, has got the gift of interpretation of tongues. But everybody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's about four of you. I've done my part. I just wonder if you would be receptive tonight to a good old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. I know I would. I know I would. That's the four I thought right there. I just say, God, just do it again. Do it again. You say, well, preacher, we're a little bit afraid of somebody getting all worked up in the flesh and embarrassing us, and we're worried about a little bit of wildfire. I told Brother Chris, wherever he's at, he's back there. I said, I got over that wildfire thing a long time ago. Here's how wildfire gets out of control. It's when you edify and glorify a wildfire. Wildfire will keep on burning. But if you got a little bit of wildfire and it shows up here and it does a little thing here and it gets out a little order there, the biggest thing is just sort of watch it and try to keep it under control a little bit. Let them embarrass themselves really, really good. They'll quit that wildfire mess. I learned that a long time ago. It'll blow in, blow up, and blow out, won't it? I quit worrying about some of that stuff a long time ago. But I think that we've gotten so far away from the move of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you again. Somebody will say, well, we used to have church services over on Dillon Street. I've heard it, folks. We used to have church. I tell you what, we used to run. We used to shout. God didn't quit. Who quit? People are not excited anymore about God. If I had another little bit of time, I would talk about the healing of Pentecost. The healing of Pentecost. There's a healing in Pentecost. If there's anything we need in the day and the hour that we're living in, Peter and John, you know the story as well as me. They came out of that upper room and Jesus had already told Peter, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They come right out of the upper room in Acts chapter 2. They bounce right into Acts chapter number 3. Here that poor guy is beating his can against the fence. Somebody give me some alms. Somebody help me. I'm laying here. My legs are crippled. I don't know what to do but sit here and beg. Somebody put something in my cup. That's the world that we're talking about. And Peter and John walked into that gate and said unto him. They opened their mouth and he said unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee, that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, when they gave him Jesus, the Bible said, and immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he went and he leaped and he glorified God, and he became a witness to all the people because of the voice of Pentecost. Stand with me tonight. We can leave this place just as dry as we came in it. We can say, God, here I am. Here I am. God, give us a voice. Give us a voice. Give me something to do, God, that I can be used of you. I can't tell you what God's calling you to do. But I can tell you this. If God's calling you to do something, he's going to equip you and give you the power to accomplish what he's calling you to do. Because God's not going to call you to do something that he's not going to equip you to do. Let me tell you something, friend. I am the least of the least, Sandra. I was a skull-dipping welder that went through high school, stayed more time in the shop. I don't know much about Western civilization. I wasn't in economics. I went to typing class one day and I looked around in the typing class and I knew I was in the wrong place. I handled myself right on back up to the welding shop and I stayed there the whole time I was in high school. Left there, went to Haywood Community College. All I wanted to do was weld. All I wanted to do was just be a good welder, the best welder, and I was, and I can still do it. I told Raymond something one day and he said, I don't know if you could, Raymond. He's right there. There he is. There he is. He about fell down. Bless his little old heart. I told Raymond one day Chris will get him. And he said one day he said, I don't know about all that. I tell Raymond, I said, one day, Raymond, I said, I think I could pick up a welder right now, Bob, and weld just as good as I could 20 years ago. And I don't know about all that. When you get it, you get it. I spent hours, Brother West, weeks and months, and all I ever wanted to do, is he okay, Chris? All I ever wanted to do, but you know what? God calls me to do something very abstract, something very strange, Robert. And he ain't finished with you. All that you've been doing is all just the preparations of what he really wants you to do. You're just an old air tech in disguise right now. He ain't done with you. Sorry, Raymond. You can scold me later, buddy. I understand. I'll get it. But here's the point. When we give our hearts to God, when we give our talents to God, when we give our lives to God, and we say, God, here I am. And God puts his spirit in us and he fills us up. There's no telling what God's going to do with you. Bob, I never sought out pastoring. Never, not the first time. Never, never. All I wanted to do was preach and evangelize and fill in for lazy preachers that wanted to go deer hunting. That's all I wanted to do. And that's all I was doing. I've preached only one or two revivals in my days. I was working full time. Went into the intern program in 1989. And at the end of that intern program, we got out in May. I planted a church in July. Weird. Wouldn't recommend it. I was 27 years old. And they let me do it. The Church of God said, if you said you're going to go plant a church, you go do it. It's you know, it's sink or swim, buddy. They gave me $400 only to help me pay one rent, 1 month's rent, 1 month. Pastor Dotson gave me $400 to pay 1 month's rent. A good friend of mine down in the Kannapolis area, L.C. Lynch, gave me $400 to pay a month's rent. Our building rent was $400. The 15th of July, this week, some of you seen it on the Facebook page. That church now is 33 years old and it's still there. And my mom and my dad both have attended that church for the last 15 years before my daddy died. And that my daddy didn't say a word to me about church years and years and years ago. Hey, Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get filled with God, and let's see what God will do in this church. Father, we love you tonight, and we praise you. And we thank you, Father God, for the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the challenge tonight, God, to seek you, God, and to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, you said in your word that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. And God, may you fill this church afresh with the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're in this room tonight and you want God to fill, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do nothing to you. I'm only going to ask you a question and be sincere in the answer. If you want God to fill you and refill you with the Holy Ghost tonight, just slip up your hand tonight. That ought to be everybody in the room. That ought to be everybody in the room. It means different things to different people. But what I'm trying to tell us tonight is simply this, that we've got to have God to fill us up and to fill us with His power in order for us to do what He's called us to do. So, Father, you see every hand. You see every person. You see every individual. And I pray, God, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill this church. That you would fill every person that's raised their hand and said, God, fill me up. Let my voice be a voice of Pentecost. Let my voice be one that can be used for your glory and for your honor. And Jesus, for this we give you glory. For this we give you praise. For Jesus, we give you honor. For it's your precious name we pray. Let me leave this verse with you, because I believe those that seek me, find me. Seek me and you shall find me. The Bible says in Jeremiah, search for me and you will find me when you search for me or seek me with all of your heart. I know, and I've got to quit, I realize that. But I know years ago that we preached a lot about Pentecost and we preached about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that in our Church of God teachings, before you hold an office, the prerequisite was that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't even get enough people to fill offices anymore. You have to about take what you can get. But that was the importance and the emphasis that was put on the being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because our forefathers understood and knew that if we don't have the Holy Ghost in our lives, it's not going to be accomplished. God bless you. Shake hands. Come out friendly. Don't be fighting.